Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have guitarist Nita Strauss in studio. We have El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson, on the phone, and we do our picks.
So much fun.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
We need to change the intro, obviously, as Matt has been let go. Dana was so annoyed at my questions the other day that he fired Matt as punishment. No, Matt's train is running late. You know, Matt takes the train from Long Island. He does his rolls in the morning. And there's something going on with the trains today because it's not getting in until he's already normally here.
Yeah.
So he will be here shortly, and of course we would normally wait for Matt. But our guest has a hard out time. Nita Strauss, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
I didn't screw your first name up, right? Because Chris, he wrote the pronunciation out phonetically. I'm going to go, Nite?
Nite-te. I'm just glad he didn't write Nina, because most people's phones autocorrect me to Nina.
Yeah.
So you have no idea how many times we've had to restart a podcast because of someone's phone autocorrecting my name.
That's okay. I've had autocorrect screw me up, and I've been talking to a lot of girls, and I said, I want you to suck my cop.
And it probably worked out better. Actually,
yeah, they didn't block me. So yeah, why Nita? Who you named after?
I'm not named after anyone.
Oh, it's just a cool original name.
I guess so. Yeah, super creative parents.
And you're a big. I know you're a UFC fan, and I know you're a fan of Matt. He will be here. So I felt bad when we had to start without Matt. I know you're a big Matt fan.
Yeah. Actually, and I'll say it again. Gladly when he comes here. But when I started watching UFC, you know, I'm a little late to the party. You know, I grew up in a household with no TV, not even cartoons. You know, so no. You know, I'm really involved in the WWE world, and everyone's like, "Man, have you been watching wrestling since you were a kid? You know, do you remember all the faction stuff?" I'm like, no, I literally just discovered everything. So I started watching UFC about 10, 12 years ago. And one of the first things I really got into was The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
And watching Team Hughes versus Team Sarah.
Season 6. Oh, yeah, season 6.
So
right.
It wasn't actually season 4, it was season 6. And that was like sort of, you know, I'm still a chick. You know, we like the reality shows, sure. Like the drama. And so watching The Ultimate Fighter was a great way to kind of introduce myself to the sport. You know, I've been an athlete growing up. I've been an athlete all my life. But, you know, UFC was a completely new world for me. So it was really cool.
Why no TV when you were a kid? I'm always, because there's a lot of parents that do that. And I guess it's a good, were they like kind of like alternative thinkers or kind of hippies? Or?
Alternative thinker is a nice way of saying hippie.
Oh, really?
But yeah, you know, I had wooden toys. I had, you know, I had two things growing up that were outside the hippie alternative thinker bubble. And I had Ninja Turtles and I had Barbies. And I credit that to sort of who I am today, because I'm still sort of a tomboy, but I have a little bit more of like the Barbie aesthetic than the Ninja Turtle aesthetic.
Have your parents kind of come? Are they living still?
Yes.
Have they come around to the modern? Like, are they iPhone people? Or are they still like?
Yeah, well, they are. But my dad still ends. You know, he starts his texts with "Hey, it's Dad."
Like they don't know caller ID in the phone.
Yeah, and then ends it with a lot of emojis. You know, thumbs up, Christmas tree, heart, a peace sign. You know.
I know, my dad does that too.
Does he? It's not just my dad.
Yeah, the capitalizing, like when he goes, "All right, it's good. I'll talk to you later. Love you," in capital letters.
Love
just
you.
Jumps out at you.
Love Dad.
Yeah, like, I know who you are. Your name is on the.
Yeah, no, I get it. Hi, it's Dad. Do you want to have lunch today? Love you. Christmas tree, shamrock, heart.
Just crazy emojis that mean nothing.
But what's cool is, you know, my dad is a musician and my mom is a ballet teacher. So
what does your dad play?
He plays bass.
Oh, he does?
He plays a little of everything. You know, he taught me my first few chords on the guitar. And actually, my guitar, my signature guitar, is called the Ibanez Jiva. And Jiva was the name of my dad's band.
Oh, okay.
So he had a band, you know, in the 60s, you know, signed to George Harrison's label, Dark Horse. And it was super involved in the, you know, the alternative scene.
Your dad knew George Harrison then?
Yeah, yeah.
What did he say about him?
He hasn't said a whole lot, you know, more just, you know, the thing that he instilled in me was to be grateful for those opportunities as they come.
Yeah.
I just signed my first record deal with Sumerian Records and being beyond grateful for that opportunity, because most musicians don't have that opportunity in their lifetime to work with a label they respect.
Sorry to interrupt. Your solo record, Controlled Chaos, your debut solo album is coming out November the 16th. And you had a campaign which allowed you to self-produce Controlled Chaos, and you got surpassed 8 times over. So people must love what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I heard for a long time that people don't support music anymore. People don't buy records. People don't buy concert tickets. People don't support artists. And, you know, I've heard the same thing in the mixed martial arts world. You know, fans aren't buying pay-per-views. Fans aren't supporting the way that they used to. And I think that if you give them something to get behind, if you give them something to get excited about and support, then fans, you know, I don't even like the word fans, to be honest with you.
I like worshippers.
Worshippers. the masses. The masses will get interested if you give them something to be interested in. If you keep recycling the same old thing over and over and over again, you know, they're not going to keep watching. But, you know, UFC is keeping it fresh. They've got a lot of cool stuff coming up, a lot of exciting fighters coming up, and people are starting to talk about it so much more. I hear it so much more in the public conversation. And the same thing happened with my record.
By the way, your dad is smart to play bass. Bassists will always work because they're a very necessary part of the music, but they're not the lead singer, they're not the lead guitarist, so they're not as much a face of the band. I mean, Ozzy and Metallica, I think, swapped bassists at one point. It was Jason Newsted for Rob Trujillo. I think it was just literally a swap. Nobody gives a shit. So it's like the bassist will work for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter necessarily what you look like. The bassist is always the one to kind of let themselves go a little bit because there's less pressure on them to look like the face of the band.
They're not getting in anybody's way.
No, you know? But without them, you're like, this music sucks.
This
so you have to
sucks.
Have them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I put out the first single from my album. It's called Our Most Desperate Hour, and it came out just this last Friday. And I played all the bass on the record, and my boyfriend Josh played the drums, and I played everything else. So I didn't really feel it necessary to cast, you know, a fake bass player in the music video and have someone just standing there, you know, kind of Milli Vanilli-ing the bass.
Right.
And the comment I get all the time is, but there's no bass. The song sucks. I said, the bass is in there, guys. It's just I didn't feel like I needed to hire a stand-in bass player, but people that don't know me don't know that. And
oh, they don't know that you played the bass.
They don't know that I played the bass. And again, why would I? Should I have, do you think?
You know, I would have maybe put some kind of a bass indicator in there just to avoid.
Like a level?
Or just you.
Light.
Or just put superimpose yourself in there.
Why not?
In a little box playing the bass.
Yeah.
Is it hard being in a band with your boyfriend? I don't know if I'm dating somebody, can I do anything creative with them for any length of time?
Oh, it's really hard to do creative things together. But the nice thing is, you know, he has his own music. I have my own music. This is my solo work, you know. So it's not as much like being in a band together. He's, you know, my boyfriend plays drums in my band and is also my manager.
Oh, okay.
So he wears all the hats in the Nita Strauss
kind of like
world.
Ozzy and Sharon, except she doesn't play.
She doesn't play anything, yeah. So he has more to do with my career than I do, I think. But he's extremely supportive and just says, look, this is your vision. I'm going to help you execute it as best as I can. And I'm really grateful for that because it would be – he's a really creative person. It would be really easy for him to just say, look – I think it would be better this way, and we'd probably butt heads. And if we do try to write music together, it's like torture for both of us.
Yeah, because it's hard to tell somebody else, like, your vision of this song stinks.
Yeah, I'm not interested in it. So he's really, really supportive and really amazing at just saying, this is what you want. I might have a different idea of what would be better, but if this is what you want, I'll find a way to execute it as best I can.
So UFC you watch. Do you go to fights too?
I've never been to a UFC fight, but to be fair, I also haven't even been to that many concerts because I've been touring since 15. I'm 31 now. So 16 years of my life spent on the road. I'm never in town when anything cool happens. I just saw Metallica for the first time.
Really?
Yeah. But we always get the pay-per-views on the bus whenever possible. Actually, we're just here in New York at Jones Beach, and everyone was crowded on the bus to watch Mayweather-McGregor. because I paid. I was like, I'll buy it on my account. I don't even care.
Oh, that's where you are?
Yeah, yeah. We were in the parking lot of Jones Beach. And, you know, it went on so late.
Was it a big screen or was it a laptop?
No, it was a little tour bus TV.
Oh,
so
wow.
Medium screen, yeah. I guess. But, I mean, it was Alice, all of our crew, the whole band, everybody all packed onto the bus.
Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper.
You were touring with Alice, right?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, I'm still doing that. That's my day job.
Oh, you still tour? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the first show with Alice in Albany tomorrow.
Okay.
First show of this leg of the tour. But this is last year. We were out here with Deep Purple. And everybody was crowded around. And it's funny how a fight like that brings people that are not even fans of the sport together.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was actually in Dublin with Alice last year, and I went to SBG and met Connor's coach, Coach Kavanaugh.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, went out and hung out at the gym and checked out. That was my first time stepping in an octagon, which was really cool. As a longtime fan of the sport, I was like, he goes, do you want to step in? I was like, well, yeah. Like, am I allowed?
Yeah.
It was a kind of like hallowed ground. And it was an amazing experience. Connor wasn't there training or anything, but just to be there and be in the gym and feel the energy. And they've got this great quote up on the wall of Connor's, which is that famous quote where he says, I'm not talented, I'm obsessed. You know, anybody can be anybody if you put in the time. There's no talent, there's only hard work. And I feel that way about music too. So it was cool to be there and experience what they experience on a day-to-day.
I went to Jackson Wink when I was out there a while ago. I didn't step into the octagon. I've been to the UFC Performance Center. But I'm afraid I don't want to step into it. I just feel like I so don't bowl. It's a bit like putting on a Dallas Cowboy helmet. What the fuck am I doing? Like, this is just
You were going to say you'd be afraid that the animal would come out and you'd have to become a fighter.
Yeah, I would. I'd throw like a stiff old man karate kick. I really am finished physically. Yeah.
I felt funny in there. I will say, like, you know, I was like, do I take off my shoes? And he's like, yeah, you take off your shoes.
You have to take your shoes off.
I didn't know.
What would be more embarrassing than tracking dog shit into an octagon?
I know.
Embarrassing.
Well, especially you've been walking around Dublin, you know, tracking puke and
crushed glass
and vomit and all kinds of fecal matter and stuff from walking around the city.
So do you tour with him? Do you guys fly private?
We're on a bus.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, yeah. We're old school.
How about when you're doing Dublin, though?
We are still on a bus. Yeah, we fly to Dublin, you know, to get there from the States. But yeah, we travel Europe on a bus as well. We're very old school. You know, the Alice Cooper show is way more old school than you'd realize. You know, we just until last year, we were all on one bus with Alice. And so it was a super crowded, packed
bus. Is Alice looking to save some money? Or is he, you know, because a lot of guys, they're like, you know what, it's time to sock it away.
It could very well be, but actually, you know, about a year ago, we split up into two buses, so it's a little more chill.
He has his own
now.
Bus now?
It's half the bus and Alice on half the band and Alice on one bus, and then the rest of the band and our tour manager on the other bus. So it's about five people to a bus, really laid back, super chill. But
does he have a big bed in the back?
He does have a bed in the back, okay. Which is why I'm glad I'm not on that bus, because we got the back lounge in our bus, and we can watch TV and do stuff back there.
And where do you have to watch it on his bus, in the front?
Ghost Adventures. In the front, you can only watch Ghost Adventures or terrible horror movies, like the B, C, D level.
Why?
Of the horror movies. That's what the boss likes to watch. We're not going to walk in there and say, or the Golf Channel. Or the Golf Channel. He's always watching the Golf Channel.
Oh,
but usually
God.
It's Ghost Adventures.
So do you hate when he's out doing something like Hollywood Vampires? Is that what they would call with Johnny Depp?
That's right.
So you must hate that, because like then you're not you don't have a gig.
Well, I hated it at first, you know, because then it's like, you know, I'm out of work. What am I going to do? But this time it gave me the chance to record my record, Controlled Chaos. And that was a blessing for me because, you know, of course, when I first got the news that we were going to be off this last summer, I was heartbroken because that's my work time.
Yeah.
You know, like I go, oh, my God, we're going to be off for 4 months. You know, you don't know as a musician. You think you're going to have all the time in the world. Like, you know, just like, I'm making a paycheck every week. We always work all through the summer, no big deal. And then in January, you get the news, the Vampires are touring this summer. You have the summer off. Have fun. And I was like, what are we going to do? And Josh, you know, my manager and boyfriend said, this is when you're going to do your record. And I was like, who's going to pay the bills? Will I do that?
Right. So and, what do you do with how do you make the money?
Well, we did the Kickstarter.
Oh,
we did the Kickstarter for the record. And you know, and I did, you know, I socked it away. I've been very, very patient, you know, very, very careful with my money. You know, I don't have a fancy car. I don't have a huge house or anything. We're renting a little place in Hollywood. And but so we had enough saved to pay the bills. And I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the Kickstarter. You know, and Josh said, we're going to do the Kickstarter. We're going to raise the money to do the record. And we're going to gauge the interest of people to see, you know, see how many people want to to buy an instrumental guitar record in 2018 because there hasn't been
singing?
There's no singing.
Oh.
None at all. Yeah. It's all just shred, instrumental shred. And we didn't know. You know, there hasn't been a huge instrumental record since the 90s, early 90s. You know.
Does Yngwie sing on his?
He has singing on his. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he has some singing on his. But even so, he hasn't had a, you know, wildly successful album since Rising Force. Was it 91 or 92 that came out?
I don't know.
So it's been a while. I don't know either.
Yeah, I have no idea.
it's something like that. So we thought, okay, let's set a super modest goal and we'll ask for 20K. And that's going to cover all the recording. I'll record it myself. I'll rent a studio. You know, I can engineer it myself. I recorded and engineered the whole record myself, minus a portion of the drums. And, you know, we'll do it myself. I'll hire the graphic artist. I'll hire the team. I'll get the photo shoot and the mixing and the mastering done. Like, I'll hire pros for that. And we should be able to, you know, come out ahead with a little left over to promote a tour, hire a publicist or something like that. So we set the goal for $20,000. And I pressed, you know, made my Facebook post and I pressed the button. And then I went to the gym. And we hit that 20K while I was still at the gym.
Wow.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like a crazy all-day workout. It was about an hour and a half. So we
That's a crazy workout.
I know.
45 and I might have a stroke.
So we hit that 20K in the first 2 hours. We doubled it by the end of that day. We tripled it by the following day. And that's when we looked at each other and we said, whoever said that fans don't support music was dead wrong. Because they care. You just have to give them a good product to care about.
Who are you going for this weekend? I'm sure you're going to watch.
I'm going to tell you this. I know Khabib is the favorite. I know I've seen all those videos of him wrestling bears and, you know, and doing all that stuff. But I think Conor's going to find a way.
You know, I watched the Khabib Edson Barboza fight. I watched the first round last night because, again, I don't see this fight going past the second. Again, I'm always wrong, though. Who saw Stipe Ngannou going 5-round decision?
Right.
You know, who saw Cormier knocking him out in the first round? I'm always wrong. But I was watching Khabib come in, and he's so bent on pressing you up against the cage. He is so good at taking the middle of the octagon and pushing you back and keeping you defensive. Barboza was kicking him, body kicking him, leg kicking him, but knowing that eventually he was going to shoot for a takedown. I think Conor might be able to catch him coming in.
I think, look at Chad Mendes. Look at when Conor fought Chad Mendes. You know, he was able to get in there and do the Conor thing and figure him out. And yes, he got taken down, but in the end, he made it through.
He did, but Mendes was on no camp. And I'll say this about that.
But he's a strong wrestler.
Very strong wrestler. And if Khabib takes him down like that, I think Conor's in trouble. I don't think he's surviving that, and I certainly don't think that he's going to be able to do more than one round of that.
I think that if it goes past one or two rounds, I think then Conor's in trouble for sure.
Yeah. I'm thinking first round.
Conor and his cardio.
What's that?
Conor and his cardio.
I mean, I think he'll be, he does gas at one point, but no, I think it'll just be because the odds are. But then again, everybody thought that Damian Maia against Tyron Woodley, everyone thought eventually he's going to take you down, and he didn't. But again, Conor cannot defend the way, you know, Woodley could defend.
Yeah, it's such an interesting fight. I think that maybe, not that Khabib's making a mistake. Obviously, his wrestling is the thing that's probably going to win him the fight. But Conor has a much more varied attack. I think he might be able to defend the takedown better than people think. I think he's going to be able to keep it standing longer and land the shots. And really, if it goes long, all Conor needs is one opportunity to catch you. You know, so even if it goes 4 or 5 rounds and it looks like Khabib's winning that fight, Conor could still land late in the fight.
He can, but to me, there's no way. I mean, if it's going 4 or 5 rounds, that means he survived a lot of time on the floor.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it favors Khabib, I think, the longer it goes.
Yeah, so I think Khabib will be able to take him down eventually. And then you'll see, does he get through the round, or does Khabib be able to reach under and grab his wrist and do that smothering thing up against the cage, which is every schoolyard ass-kicking I ever took, which is just getting the shit beat out of you crumpled up in a corner. That's why it's hard to watch him fight, because that's what he does. He just puts you in a corner and
pounds you. He's a bully.
He's a bully.
He's a bully. He bullied those bears, and now he's going to bully all these other fighters. And I was I wanted to make sure I was up on my research before coming in here and hang out with you guys. Is it right that Khabib has actually not only not lost a fight in the UFC, but not lost a round? Is that correct?
I don't know about the round. You might be right. 26-0. I don't know about the actual round.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you can maybe make an argument that he lost one round to, like, Michael Johnson.
Michael Johnson.
First round, but,
But even that, Michael Johnson started landing, but then, you know, Khabib finished on top of him, pounding him by the end of the round, so I don't even know if he lost.
Khabib's basically been untouchable so far.
That also means you're due, though.
Yeah.
You're due. Nobody goes undefeated forever when there's so many amazing fighters and so many guys who can beat you, and there's so many ways to lose. And that almost, the fact that he is 26-0, it almost makes me go like, ugh.
It might be about that time.
Yeah, everyone expects him to win. Connor hasn't fought in 2 years. I might take Connor as well. But then again, I don't know. It's
kind
of hard
know?
To. Yeah.
How do you, like, I wouldn't be surprised either way at all.
Ferguson Pettis is a good fight, too. The co-main event is an incredible fight. Pettis is fighting better than anybody has expected him to fight in recent memory. And the winner of this will obviously get the winner of the main event.
You would think, yeah. I mean, Poirier Diaz is in the mix, I would think. But yeah, I mean, this is looks like it's going to be a terrific fight. So.
Yeah, I guess. What is Poirier, number three?
Yeah,
is he number three?
Yeah, hold on. We have it right here.
I mean, Ferguson's number two, obviously.
Yeah, Poirier's three, Ferguson's two, Connor's number one, and then Khabib's.
Yeah, so it actually goes in order when you're looking at the thing.
Yeah.
Khabib, Connor, and Ferguson. And then I think if Pettis wins, he's on such a streak that they give him the shot. Or do they make Pettis fight the winner of Nate Poirier?
I'd be interested in seeing that, too, actually. It's hard to say. Like, at this level, all those fights sound exciting.
Every fight is exciting at that level, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, Pettis has the loss to Poirier, but it was a stoppage. His rib was hurt, but he was losing that fight when they fought. So he's really only won the fight against Chiesa, but he's won two of his last three since coming back to life.
Two of three, and he looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, it was vintage Pettis in his last fight.
Well, I kind of saw the Chiesa loss coming, I told you. Whenever they count down with Bruce Buffer, whenever they're too excited by Bruce, I'm like, they're finished.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why. But it's like they're too caught up in the fun moment of it. And it's like, no, there's a guy about to kick you in the stomach.
Yeah, one of the only guys that does it that it doesn't, it seems genuine.
JDS?
Is TJ does it too. TJ Dillashaw.
Does he? Oh, yeah.
He'll usually, I don't know if they actually fist bump, but he like gets into it when Bruce Buffer.
JDS walks to the middle of the fucking octagon and points down. I never like that. I don't like that at all. But I do like him.
Yeah.
Also, Ovince St. Preux. Well, before we talk about that, wait till Matt. There's some great fights that have been announced. Rafael Dos Anjos against Kamaru Usman is a great fight.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I think that's the fight that Kamaru Usman needs to have. I mean, Dos Anjos is coming off the loss to Colby. He looked fine, but Colby beat him. And, you know, this is another big name for
Kamaru. Who was Usman's last fight?
Jesus, why can't I think of it?
I'll look it up. I'm glad I didn't pretend to know that.
Yeah, well, I don't know why.
That's what guys do on these shows.
Oh, Damian Maia was the last one.
Yes. Yeah. They have a computer in front of them.
Right.
And they act like they know all this stuff. And you're like, how the fuck do they know it all?
I'm learning that. You know, we're doing this big press tour for my record. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this is how it works. I'm not the only one that can't think of this stuff on short notice.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know. But I got the phone to look all that stuff up.
Yeah, and I'm not a good faker. Like I'm not a professional broadcaster at all. So I'm not good at pretending that shit. I should be.
Right.
But I'm not.
I'd rather just say I don't know.
Yeah, it's not as sexy as pretending I know, but I don't know is more honest. And people can tell I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blithering
it's
idiot.
Easier to just be a fan and just say, yeah, I love this sport, but I don't know that.
Jimmy Manoa is fighting Thiago Santos, so he's staying where he's at.
Yeah, Santos is staying up at light heavyweight, which I think makes sense.
I mean, do too.
Unbelievable in his last fight.
That is a great fight.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Well, that's what was supposed to happen. Andre stepped in for Jimmy Manoa. Manoa tore his hamstring or whatever like 3 days before the fight. So
yeah, that's a great fight.
Yeah.
Who did Sam Alvey just lose to? Was it Glover Teixeira?
Little Nog.
Oh, Little Nog. Right, okay. I like Sam Alvey. I hope he does well at light heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean, he vowed after that he's never going to lose again. That's what he said.
I love Sam Alvey.
I love that guy.
Because if he loses again, he'll just be like, all right, we'll never again after this.
See, but that's the Conor approach. That's the, you know, the manifesting your own reality. You say, you know, Conor said, I go in there believing that I'm the best. I predict these things, Conor says. And you know, hey, it works for one person. Why can't it work for the other?
It does. Him and his girlfriend, I think, or his wife, whatever she is, are big on The Secret, that book.
Yeah, manifesting your reality.
It's true, but I've tried it. It didn't work. And he's also lost. He lost to Mayweather. He lost to Diaz. So, you know, again, it works until it doesn't.
It works until it doesn't work. But, you know, I got to read Diamond Dallas's Page new book, Positively Unstoppable.
About yoga.
Not just about the yoga, but about, like, this is all about, like, his mindset, his positivity, and kind of, like, what we're talking about, manifesting things. And he goes, in the Secret, they talk about a little boy that sits there, he sits in his bed and dreams of a bike. And he says, there's going to be a bike outside my door. There's going to be a bike outside my door. And then he wakes up one morning, and there's a bike outside his door. And DDP says, I hate to disappoint disappoint you, but that doesn't fucking work.
It doesn't like, work.
So, you know, yeah, Conor can sit there, you know, at SBG and say, I'm going to beat everyone. I'm going to beat Mayweather. I'm going to beat Habib. I'm going to be the best. But unless he puts in those hours and puts in those time, puts in that takedown defense, it's not going to work.
Here's what that shitty kid in The Secret was probably doing. Probably bugging his mom. I'm going to go think about the bike. And then she heard it and just put it there. So he tried to think
like
positive.
Santa.
Enough already with this. Yeah,
enough already with the bike.
Yeah, I guess you have to really, maybe I should read The Secret. My ex-girlfriend years ago gave it to me. As a gift, and I probably should read it.
They have it on the Netflix. They have a the secret documentary or whatever. They have a movie version on Netflix.
I don't know. I've envisioned stuff. Maybe I don't do it enough. Maybe I just do it too late in the game, like 2 days before, and I don't really believe it. But I've had little moments of that.
Like a parking spot?
You know, it's a funny, the parking spot.
You nothing need would, it here in New York.
You do need to have that. And nothing would send me into a rage more than somebody who takes up two spots. I used to live in this place in Jersey. And there was this one old couple who I fucking hate. Because this son of a bitch would take up two spots to save the other spot for his awful wife. And they
that's
would go out.
That's not fair.
I them.
That's
so I would
fair.
Come home at 1 a.m. after doing gigs and see this shit stain with his car taking up two spots. And I literally wanted to get behind and ram him forward and push his car. I hated those people so much.
Well, I live in Hollywood and people do that so they don't get their car dinged. And that's even more obnoxious.
Yeah, you should go by and scratch it like with a rock. Not
this
even
is
kid.
What you get, you motherfucker.
just take a nice big pointy rock and grind it against the side of the car.
Yeah.
Carlos Condit against Michael Chiesa, also a great fight. You know, Chiesa's bouncing back from that loss. And who did Condit lose to last time he fought?
Man, I'm just like blanked today.
That's okay, me too. There's so many fights. There's so many divisions. And every weekend there's fights. You lose track.
Yeah, I have a hard time keeping up.
Yeah, we all do.
It was Cowboy Oliveira was his last one.
Okay. That was a pretty fast one too, first round?
That one was in the second round. That was fun while it lasted. And then Neil Magny was the one that he came back to after being out for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
Chiesa moving up to welterweight. That's his first welterweight fight.
Oh, it is. Okay. Oh, yeah. He said he didn't want to keep cutting.
Yeah, makes sense.
Maybe that's what kind of went into his last loss. Maybe he felt like he was a little, a little fucking beaten up from the weight
cut.
Yeah,
for sure. That's the thing that I'm thinking about with this Pettis-Ferguson fight. Pettis did look good. I'm not taking anything away from his performance, but Chiesa was definitely a little compromised going into that. He missed weight. He had a really hard weight cut. So that's a factor, but we'll see.
And Pettis looked great. How old is Pettis? He's 34? You always think Pettis is older because he's been around for so long.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even think he's 34. Let me say.
And Sergio
I think he's
Pettis.
Around my age.
Yeah,
I think
he is. He's
31. 31.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he 31?
Same age as me.
He's had such a fucking career so far, man.
Yeah.
It's one of those people you're like, oh, yeah, no, he's been around. Like, you know, he's a veteran of the game. But you go, wait a second.
He's a very young guy.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
So you're going, you and Alice Cooper are tomorrow night in Albany. What venue? I think Matt just walked in. I heard something.
Gosh, Palace Theater, I want to say. I'd have to look. You know, we do about 200 dates a year, so they all sort of blend.
Oh, okay.
After a while. And I have master classes at Guitar Centers on every single day off, so I do 7 days a week.
You do?
Yeah.
You take them?
I give them.
You do give classes? Because Randy Rhodes used to take a classical guitar lesson every time he went somewhere.
If only, yeah, if only I could. But no, I actually, so these are master classes that, it's called a guitar clinic. And it's basically, you know, for anybody of any level to come and, you know, hear about the gear and ask questions, like, you know, like a big, huge, glorified meet and greet and just hang. And it's a lot of fun.
Who's your favorite guitarist? That's such a hack question, but I'm curious.
You are at the Palace Theater, by the way.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. I knew one. Steve Vai. Steve Vai is my guy.
He's your guy?
Yeah. I saw the movie Crossroads, when I first started playing guitar, and that was the thing that just changed everything.
How come you don't like Tony Iommi?
I do like Tony Iommi. I do. You know anyone else that can play guitar like that, missing pieces of their fingers? I don't.
And he was already playing by the time that happened. It was a factory accident. Tony Iommi, because he's a lefty, and the three right
his
fingertips.
Fret fingers.
What do they call it?
His fret hand.
Fret hand,
The hand that holds the neck of the guitar and makes the notes. Any other guitar All player fake. On the planet will go, man, you know what? That sucks. I can't play guitar anymore. Tony Iommi.
Have you seen that?
No.
Legendary.
Look at Tony Iommi's finger. It's incredible.
It's insane.
That he did that before Paranoid.
Yeah.
And I forget how old he was, but it was a factory accident where three fingers came off.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah, and those guys, you know, they're from a steel town in the UK. You know, they're all factory
Birmingham.
Kids. Yeah, Birmingham. And
oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, you look at his hand, you go, that's a professional guitar player. And it's funny because, you know, growing up as a chick playing guitar, people would look at my hands and go, you don't play guitar. Look at your hands. Everybody would have said that about Tony Iommi.
What would they say? Your hands too small?
Yeah, because, you know, I have those little girl hands.
How much do you have to look when you're playing, and how much do you just figure out? Because I look at people playing guitar, and it's just, it's incomprehensible.
I practice without looking. So by the time I get on stage, I don't look because I don't, you know.
Some people have to look?
I think so, yeah. But I, you know, I've been doing this thing ever since I started playing where I practice in the dark. You know, I'll practice standing up. The two things I always tell, you know, aspiring musicians is practice standing up and practice in the dark.
Why practice standing up?
Because when you sit down, the guitar is at one place in your lap. And then when you stand up, if you're a grown up, you drop your guitar down a little lower. And some people play it up high, like the classical musicians and stuff. And it's fine for classical players. But if you're playing rock guitar, you should sling that guitar down low like a real rock guitar player. And all of a sudden, your muscle memory is all gone because you've been practicing it with it, you know, 8-10 inches higher on your lap.
Wow, what a great suggestion.
You would never know.
All thin. Matt looks really thin.
Don't I?
And tan. Hi.
Nita.
Thanks for having me. Yes.
Nita.
Yes.
What a nice name. I'm sorry. How long's the show be going, everybody?
About a half hour.
Oh! Just to be fair, Nita, hold on. Can you,
what do you need?
The damn train.
Drink, man.
Sit. I'll get you.
Don't be a nervous Nelly. The audience knows us by now. Nita's not. She's not worried. Don't let me do that for you.
Do you want Matt, you want a sip of mine?
Huh?
I love those Zevias, by the way.
Do you want a Zevia?
I'm
obsessed.
I have a coffee, but thank you. I'm in dire need.
I wish I had a coffee.
Well, Chris didn't pay you any money. Hi, buddy.
I got a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which is such a New York thing.
What's that?
I got a Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
I like a good Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
I like it a lot. We don't really have it.
Well, he's doing his best.
Dunkin' Donuts is not a thing in L.A. I mean, we have a Dunkin' Donuts or two, but it's not really a thing.
Nita, can I apologize?
You missed a lot, Matt. We covered a lot of ground.
This is bad, like a first impression.
Don't even worry about it. I'm so sweaty. No,
it'd be worse if I was a really fat, sweaty guy.
We only started 5 minutes ago.
Well, can I just tell you, I'm looking at the clock. You did a half an hour. Do I have any paper towel on my head?
Not much.
You're good.
You know what's good about a bald head? I had the power walk here from, first of all, it just in my defense.
Why didn't you meet
Subway? We would have started. It makes no sense because it doesn't get me close enough. We're on 37th and Madison.
You're right.
Tell the audience.
37th. They don't
freaks
care.
Might show up.
37th. Well, you come. You coming to Grand Central?
There you are.
Listen.
I do too.
I'm a Strong Island boy in the New York jungle. How are you, Nita? So nice to meet you. I heard
Likewise.
You are an avid watcher of MMA. Is that correct English?
100%. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think so. Yeah, no. Big fan. I was just saying before you got here, I started watching a little late in the game, but one of my first times being exposed to UFC was watching The Ultimate Fighter Season 6, watching Team Hughes versus Team Sarah. So I'm used to seeing sweaty Matt Sarah, actually.
Let me ask you, Nita, and I'm not, listen, I could tell you're an honest person.
Yeah.
Whose team were you on back then? Be honest. You could
be
totally
at the beginning
honest.
Or at the end.
Whatever.
Oh, no.
She didn't like me. I don't know. Wait. That could go either way. That could either be like she liked me in the beginning and then hated me by the end.
No, as a new fan of any sport, you want to root for who's winning, right? Because you go, man, this is exciting. They're the best. So,
oh my God, Nita's a flip-flopper. She started with me and she flip-flopped.
I have been known to be a flip-flopper once upon a time, but now I'm pretty steady.
But she's a bit, but that's also good that she's honest.
I don't think we got to the bottom of it. So who's fair? Whose team were you on?
I was on Team Sarah all the way. Yeah, cool. All the way.
I was never a GSP fan until I began doing this podcast.
Really?
It's not true. Well, just wait a second. I'm so happy to be here. What did I miss? Just so I don't ask.
We covered, I'll tell you if you jump. It's hard. We covered a lot. We talked about music a lot. We talked about UFC, watching the Conor Mayweather fight.
Okay. Did you guys talk about the upcoming fight this weekend?
We talked about it a little bit, yes.
I'm like
what we thought was going
to
happen.
I wanted to ask you guys something.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you guys a question,
yes,
actually.
Nita.
Because I think that...
How do you guys do it?
The world of mixed martial arts and the world of music are so entwined. You know, because there's so many crossover fans, there's so many different things, and there's so many fighters that use such awesome entrance music.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you guys what some of your favorite entrances are, what some of your favorite music is.
A
great question.
Like, my own or people's?
For other people.
Or anything.
Or anything, yeah.
Well, personally, I liked Forrest Griffin's.
What was his? Oh,
Something Irish. Yes, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's
like
the dropkick Murphys.
I loved Ronda Rousey's.
I was Ronda's say Ronda.
Was amazing. That just suited her.
And I love that she stuck with it in WWE.
And her walk-in was really
she
great,
did,
too.
Huh?
Yeah, she's still using Bad Reputation
her fucking,
in WWE.
That's great.
She had a great walk-in face. Like, I usually don't care about people's tense face.
Right.
But her walk-in face... Ronda had one of the best walk-ins in UFC history. Do you know who's I like, too?
Huh?
John Jones had one he did.
What?
Where it was... So did Anderson Silva. Mm. Ain't No Sunshine. Yeah. That
Ain't
was a
no
great
sunshine.
One.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
Is that what it's called?
No. I'm saying it was an unexpected choice.
Why would I think that was called unexpected? I'm a stupid asshole. I am an asshole
squared.
But
you think they're gonna? You think everyone's going to come out to this song to get you super hyped up, and coming out to Ain't No Sunshine is kind of a...
John Jones had going. Yeah, this is what I think, guys.
As a musician, which ones do you like?
Well, I was going to say Ronda's, because Ronda's entrance music always got me super hyped because she was such a badass and still is such a badass. But Ronda's, you know, coming out to I Don't Give a Damn About My Bad Reputation, like that just was so her.
And she had that cocky.
And she had that spunk.
Yeah.
She came out fast.
That
zero.
That Judica spunk.
Mm-hmm.
Zero smiling.
I love her. I miss her armlocks.
I saw Ronda. She was the co-main. It might have been Weidman. Silva, or it might have been Silva someone else, where it might have been Silva Chael, but where she was the co-main, and the energy around her coming out, I think it was against Misha.
Mm. It was, and then it was Weidman Silva too.
The energy around her coming out, I mean, it was like a Tyson fight. You could not believe the amount of energy and excitement around her walking out.
I will say this. I played at WrestleMania this year. I played one of the wrestlers' entrance music.
What wrestler?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
My Sam would know who that is. I don't know wrestling.
So I'm a big WWE fan as well, and I was so there for Ronda's debut, and my boyfriend and I, you know, my boyfriend's a huge UFC fan, and we
was that him out there?
That's him out
he
there.
Can come
yeah,
in.
That's Josh.
He can come in. Yeah. Get him in. Chris the producer. Wait, look at Chris.
There you
producer.
Go. Leave him sitting out there
Chris
in the cold.
Yeah, if he's a UFC fan, right?
Big time.
Unless you don't want him in.
No,
here.
Bring him in.
What's his name?
I want him in, Josh.
Josh, I see
him
when I look
where I'm at. Yeah.
5 minutes? She's got to go. Is that what you're saying, Chris, the party pooper producer? Is that you, Mina? You got a big press tour you're doing?
We are, yeah, yeah.
What's up, man? I love short and stocky guys. Nice to meet you, man. I see you on the way in. She said you're a huge UFC fan, so I said, bring him in.
Bring him
in. She said, me and my boyfriend. I'm like, is that the stocky gentleman?
We don't have a mic for him.
With the Mike Tyson punch-out shirt on?
We share mics all the time.
That gives you a head. Forgive me, though. You're in the band also?
He played drums on the record. And,
awesome.
And everything
awesome.
I did. So if you hear any of my solo stuff, that's Josh.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
So you're a big UFC fan. Who do you have for this weekend?
Man, you can't. It's hard to count Connor out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the guy has such a presence of mind.
Yeah.
And knowing kind of like... He's very confident, and he backs up what he says. So his timing is impeccable. I just read about Anderson Silva kind of said, hey, you know, whatever happens after this weekend, I'd like to fight Connor.
Didn't Connor mention Anderson too?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
All right,
I'm breaking news here.
We're getting kind of stupid
news.
Though with that.
Yeah,
aren't
it's
we?
Silly.
You know,
Connor mentioned Anderson, and it's a very silly fight. I don't want to see
You know what
shit.
I liked,
It'll
though?
Never happen.
Jimmy, you know what I liked when... Give me your first name again one more time.
Josh.
When Josh put on the headphones and started dropping some knowledge, Nita got so proud of her boyfriend. I seen it. She put the headphones on. She got all happy that he's in here. I love it. But with Khabib versus Connor, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this
fucking
fight.
I wait for this whole
I
card.
Love it. You know, people are saying, I was listening to Brendan Schaub the other day. Am I saying this?
Schaub. Brendan
Schaub. I like Brendan. I'm
saying Schwab.
You know,
Brendan,
all right? Him and Joe were talking. Yeah. And he was thinking it was going to be like a dog fight. And
you might be right.
I would love that. I don't know. I kind of was in and out.
But he thinks he's
going
to go.
I don't want to get graphic because there's women in the room, but sometimes I watch YouTube clips when I'm on the toilet. And so I don't get to finish it.
I'm in
Josh.
A band.
You know, all right. Because you know.
Exactly. She shits on a bus.
No, you can't shit on the bus.
Oh, that's the rule, right?
You can't do
that. No. That's, you cannot do that.
That should be
girls
a no-no.
Don't do that anyway.
That's a great true. Point. I stand corrected.
But you can't do that on the bus.
So wait. So who was Brendan saying?
I don't think I got to the point. It was him and Joe.
I watched it. He didn't say. He didn't pick a person, but he was, you know, he gave the kind of scenario of kind of
like right now. Nobody's actually like,
no, I'll tell you.
We got to do our picks.
Every time I say Khabib, everybody thinks I'm a Conor hater anyway, so I don't give an F. I like that certain parts of the show I clean up my language.
Yes.
All the times I just let it fly. Why do I, it's random. I feel that Khabib's going to get a hold of him. And when he does, it's going to be a fucking problem. People are saying that he's going to get out and get up. I don't think so. I think if he does get up, I guess what? I think Khabib's on his back, lifting him and making his feet to the ceiling. And it's so funny when people talk to me about this, like random people who meet me, they're like, who do you got? And I tell them Khabib, their face change if they're really diehard fans. And they all of a sudden hate me. They're just like, yeah, all right, we'll see. I'm like, hey, dude, hey, calm down, guy. Calm down.
You know, when Conor got tested with the wrestling was when he fought Chad.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting because he had him on the ground. He was on top of him. He was, you know, pounding him. And he got out, you know.
Yeah, he got
eventually,
out.
Like, Chad was tough enough to
on a fucking hunting slash fishing trip.
Yeah. And he got that out before.
Literally no camp. Mm-hmm. And he got him down on the first fucking kick. Listen, I'm not. See this? This is why people think I'm a hater. I like Conor. Aggressive as fuck. Excuse me, Nita. She's in a band. I keep pointing out that Eddie Alvarez fight, man, that sticks with me. Eddie got schooled. He got fucking hammered.
Dude, Conor was he got him against the cage. Conor was throwing booming lefts over. He was beautiful.
Still got him against the cage, though.
Yeah, too. Yeah, he did.
Imagine Khabib gets
his timing and his reflexes, man. It's just insane.
Even if Khabib does get him against the cage, if Conor is landing on Khabib the way he was landing on Eddie, Khabib's not going to, you know, Khabib's going to feel it, and Khabib will eventually get knocked down too.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Did I cut you?
No. I was going to say, I mean, like, you know, he's been hit, but I don't think he's been hit as hard or as accurately as Conor will hit him.
No, that's what everybody says. It's like they go in thinking that it's one thing, and then they get hit by Conor, and they go, oh shit, that guy hits a lot harder than
because he's such a shit talker. You think like, oh, it's like, no, he really can fight.
Yeah. And to play devil's advocate, they also think that, hey, man, Ala Quinta got up. Well, this guy got up. Maybe I can get up. Edson Barbosa.
That's also true.
He's on his feet. No. Once Khabib gets a hold of him, holla, Chris the producer.
No, I agree.
Are we drawing swords?
No, Al's a different, it's a totally different skill set. Al fought Khabib well. I mean, especially on what, 18 hours
training
now,
from Paul Felder, yeah.
That was great watching him fight. Yeah. Fuck me, fuck you. Yeah. Boo me.
Oh, Ala Quinta is one of my favorite people on the planet.
I wish you would speak his mind on Twitter more. Jesus. Al's a fucking animal.
And if they're and every drink is like, gets worse. It's great though. Al
is nothing
awesome
phony
fight.
About Al.
I just want to see a good fight. You know, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to see a one sided thing. I mean, it's cool when you see the fast knockouts like the Jose Aldo one, but at the same time, a good fight would be great.
You're hoping for a dog fight. You want that kind of epic battle.
Gilbert Melendez, Diego Sanchez.
But it is interesting. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Mark Hunt against Bigfoot.
Oh, Lord.
that's what you're hoping for. But with this, I tend to disagree. I think it's going to go one way or the other. I think if the first two rounds, I think he's going to be able to fucking, first round in particular is going to show a lot. Yeah. Because I feel if he cannot hurt him enough to land those shots early enough on Khabib, then it's there. It could be a very long night.
But if it's not done in the first two rounds, then I think Conor is a problem.
100% Nita. She's hitting that nail on the head.
We were talking about that earlier. If it's not done the first two rounds, I think Conor and his cardio, that's where Khabib's got the edge.
Oh, sorry, Nita. I watched the Barboza fight again, the first round of it.
Yes.
Just to see how he is fresh. And, you know, I mean, Edson was landing, but Khabib just smothers you and pushes you back. But when he's pushing, in the act of pushing you back, he's very aggressive. And I think Conor will really capitalize on the fact that he's being aggressive and trying to pin you back against the cage immediately.
Yeah, well, and I think, I forget what I was watching, or something I read, it made the point that people look at Conor as a counter-striker more than anything, but that's, I mean, yes, to an extent, but that's really not true. He comes out very aggressive, he pushes the pace, he's throwing kicks, he's trying to push somebody up against the cage. So it's not really dependent on what Khabib does. It's just if Conor can come out and fight his fight, and not risk getting taken, you know. We'll see what happens with the takedowns, but
I mean, he talks about himself as like a sniper and a sharpshooter, and he really is. But is it going to be enough to slow him down, to hurt him? I mean, once he gets a hold of them, it really is like sapping the strength out of you.
Yeah,
the same punches that could hurt him in the opening round, after a round of that bear on top of you, Khabib. It could take a little snap out of those punches.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. But Al landed late. You know, if you look in the fourth and fifth round, it's like Al might have won even one of those rounds. He got taken down, but he could have won some of those. He was landing late also. So who knows?
You know, Conor's old training partner who's, I don't remember his name.
On the sheet here, Miles Price is the guy who used to
fight. And he's now training with Khabib. Yeah. Yeah. He said he's like a wet blanket on you. Ugh. It's just an awful.
I think there's levels.
Descriptive.
Yeah. There's levels in both areas, and these guys are the highest level in both those areas.
But you got to think, you know? Like, as long as Conor's been training, and he knew this fight was inevitable, right?
Yeah.
So he's probably been working on his wrestling for a bit, right? You would think that his coaches are smart enough to go, hey, you know, this fight's going to happen. Let's work on that ground game, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe in that time off from the Mayweather fight, yeah, that's what he focused
let's
on.
Let's say 6 months, yeah. 8 months, a year. This Khabib was wrestling a bear at 9 years old.
He's got that. What,
so it's like that strength of, when you lock up with somebody that's been rolling and grappling as long as Khabib.
With bears.
That's what they're talking about. With bears.
But the part that makes me think is when Chad, even though he was on a fishing trip, yeah, drinking, he had been wrestling his whole life.
Yeah, yeah. Still got him down several times.
Yeah, easily.
And Chad on top's, you know, is brutal. But I believe there's a difference between Chad on top without a camp and that guy, that freaking monster movie, Khabib. Look at that picture. I'm saying it because there's a picture of him on the screen. And look at him. Yeah. Oh, my. It's a nightmare.
Well, yeah, you know, when you look at CM Punk, he had all that time. I think almost 2 years in between fights. Was a year in between fights.
Yeah.
They're already laughing. Wait. I love CM.
Another person that kept their same WWE music and UFC music, because CM Punk came out to Cult of Personality, because we were talking about entrance music. Yeah. That's how this whole thing started. We were talking about Ronda using the same entrance music, and CM Punk also used the same entrance music.
I like him a lot, but he had a year, and he did improve in that time. He did improve his ground game. Yeah, yeah, and that one.
Do your shadow boxing.
Oh, it's like.
Who's that? That's CM? That's his shadow boxing? That's awesome. Do either of you ever train? Because that looked like you trained. No, I'm kidding.
Josh.
What have you done?
I trained Muay Thai. I trained with Boss for a while.
I love Boss.
He was just here last week. Oh, this week, really?
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome.
Or was that last week, Matt?
He's awesome.
It was last week.
What's today?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, okay.
Today's fucking what?
We only have 2 minutes left, by the way, with you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, gotta... man. Well, that sucks. I feel like I just got here.
I saw you come in outside. I was like, was he on the phone doing this?
What's that?
When you came in, I was like, was he on the phone the whole time?
No, oh, man. You thought I was in here?
I thought you were like doing it remotely.
No. A matter of fact, well, I'm going to hit you up after this. Before, I don't want to waste the last 30 seconds talking about you finding an ATT store. I need a piece for my phone because, never mind. Okay. We're going to talk about that after. Yeah,
we got to pee anyway and take a break, but I want to give you guys the proper plug.
Yes.
The plug is, the name of the album is Controlled Chaos.
Nice.
Comes out November the 16th. Of course, Nina Strauss, and Josh, her boyfriend, is also the drummer. There is bass, by the way.
There is bass. I played it.
Yes. And the video doesn't have it, and people are giving you shit. Isn't it funny how people see that and go, there's no bass? But it's like, you dummy, there is.
Yeah, there is. People hear with their eyes.
Do you do covers at all?
There's one cover on the record. It's a Queen cover.
I love Queen. I'm sorry to yell. What song is it?
It's The Show Must Go On. Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Are you fucking around?
Really?
No, I might know. I just don't.
You'd know it if you heard it.
What do you have against Queen, Jimmy?
Nothing. I behave like one.
Can we get a picture with you guys?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back in. Now we're going to pee. We got Tony Ferguson coming up.
Why do you have to add and we got to pee? Can't we just say we're taking a break?
I like truth.
Okay.
UFC Bantamweight Champion. TJ Dillashaw loves to fight. He loves the strategy. That's why he's so good at it. You know what else he loves?
I do.
What?
Toyo tires.
Because like TJ, Toyo tires are as tough as they come. That's the reason they're the official tire of the UFC. That's not an accident. There's a lot to love about Toyo tires. They have an aggressive design, proven on and off-road capabilities, tires for any weather, and the toughness to back it all up. There's a confidence that comes with tough tires, so no matter what you're driving, no matter where you're driving, you can count on
Toyo tires! I like to keep people in suspense.
It worked. Tough tires are loved by tough people. If you're tough, these are the tires for you. Toyo tires. The next time you need tires, ask for Toyo. They're the official tire of the UFC. Learn more at toyotires.com/UFC. toyotires.com/UFC.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else.
The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details. Hey, Tony. How you doing, buddy?
Tony!
Yo, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Dude, I'm so happy this is really you, and I see Jimmy right next to me, so I know it's really you. Tony, I seen you in person since that prank phone call Jimmy did on me, it was horrible, Tony, because I like you so much as a fighter, and I like your style, man. I always watch your training videos, and I got myself, after that phone call, I kept, until I seen you, I was like, I don't know if I like him. Something was in my head. I felt like it was really you.
Yeah, no, Coach, it's not me. It wasn't me. It was a good acting, though. I mean, I was kind of upset at first, but I mean, I could realize that. Like, but I was like, man, do I really sound like an asshole?
No.
Fuck.
No, you don't. I wasn't even doing...
Jimmy,
I wasn't
explain
even,
yourself.
I wasn't even doing your voice. I couldn't believe it worked. I was just... I figured Matt would know it's me. It was like a little kid is trying to fool his parents around the corner. I'm like, there's no way he's going to think this is Tony.
I thought it was cool. I got to see Coach Sarah afterwards, which is dope anyway. So, I mean, it was dope. I mean, I really look up to you, Matt. I mean,
you're
one of the guys
that
actually fought GSP and put him away. So it was cool as fuck to, like, meet you in like that.
Hey, man.
Respect.
Hey, much respect, dude. I've been saying for a while, that I really enjoy your style. What I really enjoy is that you really enjoy it. You look the most at home when you're fighting, and when you do that El Kukui dance, let me tell you something. You're feeling it, and everybody watching it knows that you love being in there. When did you realize that you were a fighter, Tony? Early on?
I've always been a competitor. Fighter, I've always been a fighter too, but as far as a competitor goes, I love the art of competition, just to be able to prepare for an event, to be able to go through all the bullshit, and then, obviously, like, weigh-ins in wrestling, you make weight, you get to wrestle, and to be able to do that inside, like, an octagon, have, like, cameras on you and have the whole world watching, it's a different kind of feeling, man, and to be comfortable in there and to be able to dance, you really have to fucking prepare really well, and if I didn't prepare well, I wouldn't obviously be dancing inside that cage, but when you guys do see that, that's in the zone.
Yes.
That's the flow zone, man. And it's one of the best feelings in the world, and I can't explain it, man. You're just in the zone.
And, dude, how long ago did you actually have your surgery? Because I think you're back a lot faster than people thought you'd be.
I think it was like 5 months. 5 months, I think it was. And they told me 8 months to a year, like 6 months to a year. And I just kind of just, I knew my body. I knew, like, I've been through a couple surgeries before, and I was really determined, man, just to just kind of just tell people that I can do it. One of the PTs I met, he kind of like shook my hand in a way I didn't really like him. And I just talked to my wife and I talked to my doctors and I just really went after it. I went after my nutrition. I haven't drank since February. I quit drinking, just because I like the way my body's feeling and how it's reacting to different things. And I really took on this health and wellness and recovery like it was just like my business. And I had a lot of good mentors that they gave me the tools I needed. And as soon as surgery was done, I had one of these guys came over and hooked me up with this red light laser, the Thor laser. And they have the same thing at the Performance Institute. And it helped with my recovery, helped with, like, breaking down, like, the scar tissue. And, man, I just really went after it like it was a fight camp. I had to think about it like that. And here we go, man. I'm here fucking fighting this weekend.
And you didn't like your physical therapist when you first met him. Did you turn around and start to like him, or did it motivate you just to get better faster?
I think it motivated me to get better faster. I mean, it was, some people just rub you the wrong way, or just people just don't click. It's not like he wasn't good or not bad. It was just, for me, it was a challenge. Like, I love challenges. I'm a competitor. So when somebody tells me, you know, this is how long it's going to take, and then I went to his place and I looked at everything and I was like, dude, you have the same shit that I have in my academy. Like, I have turf, I have my mats, I have my stuff, I have my recovery units, I have my Normatec, I have my Hyperice, I have my PBM modulators. I was like, I have my hot and cold contrast and my aquatherapy. Like, there was different things that I saw there, and I've been through a lot of PT places, and I was like, fuck it. I was like, this dude doesn't even know me. He had, like, NLF, or the National Football League people. He had Major League Baseball players, Major League Soccer players. But the one people that he didn't have was UFC. And so I kind of, like, took it upon myself. I was like, look, man, this guy's going to have me doing a lot of these traditional type of workouts, right. Traditional type of ways to heal my body. And here I am. I have a fucking cadaver graft in my leg. And I don't know, you know, if the guy was athletic or not, you know what I mean? So I've kind of just took it upon myself to really just took the reins, man, and just fucking went after it. And I'm glad I did. It was such an eye-opening experience. I set little small goals for myself, Matt and Jim. I went out, I started like a guard for my kid just so I could start lifting things and just kind of just start moving around. I remodeled my kitchen. You know, I started reading a lot more. I started studying and just started taking care of my health and making smoothies and just little small goals, man. I just kept setting for myself, and I started crushing them every fucking day. So I had to renew those goals for myself every night. And the first part of surgery sucked. I'll be real with you. It was the fucking, like, the worst. As soon as I got out of surgery, I took a couple 20-pound weights, and I started lifting them as much as I fucking could just to put it in my head that, yeah, you ain't going to fucking sit here. You're not going to fucking feel sorry for yourself. You're going to fucking do something about it. So yeah. I went to work, man.
I noticed that. That's the one thing. I you were very positive throughout this, and I should say focused, like you were talking about, during this whole process. It would have been very easy. I don't feel I'm a bitch, but I think I might have been bitching a little bit about tripping, about losing this, yeah. The belt over this. I might have been sour grapes. And if you were, you weren't bitching about it, man. You just got to work. So that shows your mindset, man. Very impressive.
It was fuel for the fire. What am I going to do, sit there and bitch and moan about it? I mean, I did. You know, I gave myself one day.
Yeah.
That's what I was taught. I was taught, give yourself one day. You know, after a tournament, if you lost, you gave yourself one day to sulk about it, do whatever the fuck you want, mope about it, cry about it, whatever the fuck you want. But instead, like, I think that the pressure and the pain that I felt when I was in bed, yeah. Like, literally, it was unbearable. It was fucked up. And I couldn't sleep, so I fucking got up, and I would start doing these little projects, man, just to keep my mind fucking busy and just to keep my body active and the blood flowing. And, I mean, my wife was there changing my ice, like, in this compact thing, and she would help me make my dinner. Like, as soon as I kept getting better, I would show up to the facility, and I would tell my crew, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to be here. So if you guys can be here, I would love it. And they would show up, and I saw that they would show up for me, so I kept upgrading my facility. I kept getting new things. I kept, you know, I added turf. I added some, like, small things to my facility. I built a lot of relationships. I mean, I wrote emails to these sponsors, man, myself, to, like, tell them, be like, hey, I want to work with you guys. You know, I'm very capable. I'm very able. I'm very genuine in my art, which I love. And recovery and health and wellness is my bag. And I really believe that if our brands align, we can work in the near future.
Hey, have you ever used Tony? Have you ever used, like, PRP shots or any of that stuff with the platelet rich blood or something? Have you ever used that to heal?
The PRPs?
Yeah,
I've had it in my elbow.
Does it help?
Fuck, it hurts like hell.
It does. No, I know. I'm just curious if it actually helps with injuries.
No, I don't know. I mean, shit. If you're gonna be, I just remember there was, like, a big old bubble in that shit, and it just hurt. It just hurt like crazy.
You know what I think is brilliant? I love, when did you start training with Master Eddie Bravo? Was that early on in your career, or did you get to him later?
With Coach Eddie?
Yes.
I was actually handed over like a joint. It was funny. One of my coaches, there's only a certain amount of, like, technique that somebody can get you and kind of push you far.
Yes.
And that's been like the whole entire trip when in my jiu-jitsu journey. I actually started over at Templar Costa Mesa with a guy named Casey, and he gave me the time of day, man. I asked him, I was like, teach me how to pass guard. And he took the liking to me, man, and I actually worked with him really well, and the team was amazing. And they saw that, like, my level of thinking and my level of creativity was a lot higher than what it really was. And so they talked me to, like, HQ over in 10 Planet, and literally Coach Eddie welcomed me with open arms, man. It was probably one of the coolest things I probably ever did, to surround myself around people doing what this sport is really about. I mean, I've tried gi before, and it was kind of weird for me. I mean, just people just grabbing on my pants and just doing this kind of thing and learning how to break grips. But so the system which Eddie had already installed was kind of like how I was a freestyle wrestler, so it really matched up really well. And I take it serious. Well, every single time I learn, I don't know, I go like 150% into learning it and to making it my own. And fuck, dude, that was what? 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, not to mention, man, your body type is amazing for that. For Eddie's style, that clinching style, no-gi style, where with the high guard, with the rubber guard and all that stuff, your body just seems like made for that style. So I think that's great. When I've seen you aligned with him, I'm like, oh, this is interesting, man. That's great.
Yeah, it really actually works out. I mean, the way that he has a system and how he uses his verbiage to be able to help you remember the names. I mean, reverse Keza Katami, I mean, that's a good one, you know, as far as, like, I still want to get my black belt in the gi.
Yeah.
That's something I want to do. I just want to keep stacking these accolades and these chips, like how I've been saying, just these talents, just keep adding them up. And his art, obviously, you know, comes from like Jean-Jacques Machado, and one of my other coaches, I had it from Frangia Miller, and you know, even one of my other ones, Rodrigo Comprito. They would always tell me, "You're going too fast, Tony.
Yeah,
you're going to miss these opportunities." And I never really got it because I was always that fighter or that wrestler that would always just try to do things fast. How fast can I pin this guy? All right, cool. Give me like 5 to 10 seconds. That's what I want to do. But they would tell me to slow down. You're missing all these opportunities. And here you have my Dars from fucking, you know, Frangia. And then you have like a lot of my different types of moves. Like even when Kevin Lee had me against the cage and going into Butterfly Mountain and pushing him off. These are different things that we prepared for when we were game planning over in Big Bear. And Coach Eddie actually made the trip up there. He brought a crew that was awesome. We worked out really well. It just really clicked, man. Just, you have to know not just one art in this industry.
100%.
That I broke my fucking arm in that stuff against Michael Johnson. I had to learn really quick some Muay Thai.
Tony, another thing that sticks out when I see a lot of your training videos, and I love it, because I'm an old school, I moved from that to once I started learning jiu-jitsu, but my father was an old school Wing Chun man, so I had a wooden dummy in my garage growing up, so I would practice with that all the time. I see you using the wooden dummy in some of your training, and I fucking love it. How did you get exposed to the wooden dummy?
Just one day, I wanted to just open up some of my game, and I fucking ended up just getting one. The rope around it, around the dummy was kind of just loose, and I just looked at it, and it was one of these pieces that somebody I just bought from them, and it was used, and I can tell that it was used well. And in the spots where I was hitting it, I could feel like in my forearms starting to become a little bit more calloused.
Yeah.
And I could see that my hands were really fast, and I've hit the speed bag for a long fucking time. I'll be real with you. I've hit it for a long time.
Yeah.
And so all the tools in my gym, I kind of got bored. I kind of just kind of like was like, okay, there needs to be something else out there that can help me elevate my skill set, my hand-eye coordination, and just having fun. Shit, watching Jackie Chan rumble in the Bronx. That dude, you know what I mean? And watching Bruce Lee, it was just enough time just for me to be able to be like, you know what? I want to try that shit.
That is awesome.
I actually learned from one of my sifus from Kung Fu Five Animals out in San Diego, and he taught me a couple forms, and it really worked. And I've gotten some heat, too. People are like, why don't you hit it right? And I'm like, dude, just chill the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly.
Just relax. It's like, I do hit it right. I know what I'm conditioning. I know this is mixed martial arts for me. And I don't have one of those Adam dummies in wrestling yet. So this right here actually worked out really well.
And Tony, when you first got, when you first had the injury before this Khabib fight, did you know immediately kind of like, this is really bad? Or did you have a little bit of hope until the next day? Or could you tell immediately?
I started working out, and as soon as I stopped, my legs kind of started to atrophy. and it kind of was funky. I even did a dance, and I kind of was like, all right, afterwards, and I told the guys, I was like, I'm going to fucking try to put the Normatec on. I was like, it kind of feels funky. Like, if you're feeling sick, you know what I mean? You don't immediately feel sick. You kind of feel something coming on.
Right.
My body started settling, and it just didn't feel right, man. Yeah. I tried to fucking get up and move, and it didn't feel fucking right, dude. It was probably one of the shittiest things I fucking went through.
And who do you, how do you see the main event going? Obviously, one of two ways. You know, it depends on how long it goes, I think. But what are your feelings on it?
To be real, honestly, I think Khabib's over. I mean, he's gonna be overpowering for Conor. Conor's got obviously a lot of striking, and his boxing's been upped, and his footwork and his hand-eye coordination. Obviously, I mean, I respect both these fighters, but you know, I always say I want to see a double knockout in UFC. So hopefully, they knock each other the fuck out.
And are you surprised at how good Pettis has looked lately and how fast he has come right back into the mix?
No, not really, but he's been jumping weight classes. He's been jumping weight classes, and his body has to change in order to drop down to 145. You become a little bit more brittle, or you become a little bit more frail taking those kind of cuts, and your body doesn't really adjust to it right away. I mean, he did take a game fight against Michael Chiesa, but I beat the shit out of Kevin Lee, you know, who beat Michael Chiesa, and this isn't MMA math, and obviously Anthony Pettis is a different competitor, sure. But he's nothing I haven't seen before in an Edson Barboza, who was probably at the top of his game. And like I said, this whole entire fight camp, I've cleaned it up, my diet, my mental, my physical, my emotional. I'm really centered. I'm really focused. So I think this guy might be overlooking me. Even if he has all the fucking film and all the stuff around me for this fight camp, we prepared really diligently as far as 10-pound jiu-jitsu, making sure that this dude isn't going to fucking have anything. I prepared really diligently on my Muay Thai with my coach, Coach Billy Fonua. And he's just one of those dudes that just, he's hardcore, man. He worked with Brandon Vera, Shogun Hua, and he's worked with Junior Dos Santos. And he understands that I don't fuck around with my Muay Thai. I don't fuck around at all. Like, if you want to throw some elbows, you want to throw some knees and kicks, that's my dude. That's my coach. That's crew right there. And I have a crew in Muay Thai. And I take, like I said, I take my shit seriously. I go and I kick these rubber mats and I do all this. And he doesn't laugh at it. He knows it's good for me because that's what kind of fighter I am. Like, if you fucking wrap my hands in like a Muay Boran fucking type of rope Muay Thai, trust me, I'll feel fucking right in there. Like, I'll feel real comfortable.
And have you, because we asked Dana, we had him on the other day, if, you know, again, you never know what's going to happen. So many times things go wrong where, again, the fight's supposed to happen, doesn't happen. So are you prepared for the possibility that they may come to you the day before and go, look, there was an issue with the main event. Do you want to match up with one of these guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I prepared really different for this fight, like I said. I prepared for, I mean, put it this way, I've been training around the clock. I've been training around the clock, just how, like, in certain cases where people are just like, as soon as you get towards fight, you're going to sleep less and you're going to fucking start fighting more. And that's how I've taken this approach in wrestling. You don't just take it easy all the way up until the fight. No, you fucking go down and go hard all the way up until weigh-ins. And then even if your homies are fucking cutting weight and they didn't make weight, you're cutting weight with them if you're a leader on the team. And that's how I've taken this approach. I've taken this approach saying, if any of these guys need to fall, if they're going to fall out, if they're going to fucking pull some shit, it don't matter. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to worry about my game. I prepared for Khabib, what, four times? I prepared for Conor, what, once when he didn't take the fight? Then I prepared for fucking this guy, and Anthony Pettis. But I'm not worried about what I can't control. I'm only worried about, right now, my conversation with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Well, I'm not alone in this, saying that I'm happy you're back, Tony. You're back, man.
Me too, man. It's awesome. You know, yesterday at the media day, it was kind of a fun thing. It's just, and then today, and then just tomorrow, it's the whole aura of the fight week, man, and the fans, and just coming up, asking for autographs, and just taking pictures, and just, it's not the reason why I do it, but it's cool to see the fans' faces, man. Like, seriously, these guys are spending their hard-earned money, like, to buy our pay-per-views, you know, and they're not doing it, like, out of malice. They're doing it because they want to, and because they love it, and they love the art of the competition. I mean, I try to explain to everybody, if you haven't been to a UFC event, y'all need to get your fucking asses there. Like, and seriously, it's like a monster truck, really. That's the kind of vibe that you get. You're just like, what the fuck? And when the lights go out, and then when they come on, and you have the music and the walkout, and then you're in there, and then you have the fight itself, and then,
And Bruce Buffer gets you ready. Bruce Buffer fucking was a huge part of it.
Seriously, man. I mean, the whole entire aura is just awesome. I talk a lot, but I'm not trying to talk too much about it. But it's just one of those fucking things. Even just just even just sporting the Reebok out there. You know, I'm not trying to shout out Reebok, but even getting your bag of, like, your equipment during fight week and signing the posters. Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes it all good, man.
He loves
like,
it.
Kind of just like, yeah.
Loves it. You love everything around it. You love everything surrounding it. You love the fight. You love even the training getting up to it. You love all of it.
Yeah, I really do. I don't like the weight cut. The weight cut's not too much. I mean, sure. But it doesn't really hurt me. Like I said, I've been cutting weight for almost 30 years. So, I mean, it's just one of those things you have to do and just be diligent with. And I've just, like I said, I've been cutting weight since about 5 months ago, since my fucking, my real surgery. So my diet's been really good. I mean, my skin, everybody's looking at me like, man, you look fucking younger. Well, shit, man, I took away all the bad habits and I put good ones in.
Right.
That's fucking awesome.
And also, dude, I don't think there's any way Anthony Pettis is looking past you. I mean, you kind of mentioned that. I mean, he couldn't be looking past you.
It's fucking El Kakui.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that's not a possibility. There's no way Pettis is looking beyond you.
I think I just put that in my head, you know, so I know that he fucking pisses me off. I'm like, hey, dude. He's like, what? Quit looking at me, man. Like, fucking what, Waterboy?
That's fucking great. No, don't hurt me. That's fucking great.
Well, dude, we're happy you're fighting, dude. It was heartbreaking when that happened, but look, you're back. You're the co-main, you and Pettis against, you know, co-main to Connor and Khabib. It's an incredible card from beginning to end, and we can't wait to see this fight, dude, and we're really, really happy you're back.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, man. It's finally cool to talk to you guys.
Yes, finally. We're happy we finally got you, and it's nice to talk to the real Tony.
Good luck, champ.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Later, Tony. All right, that was fun, man, to finally have him on.
Yeah, you know he's what I mean, one of my Jimmy? Favorite fighters ever. I love Tony Ferguson. That was great to have him, man.
Dude, you can't fake that passion, man. He enjoys every second of it. Picks! Let's do picks!
I love
Wait, what's
Tony.
What's today?
Yeah, today's, yeah, yeah. Today's
we
Thursday.
We gotta do fucking picks!
Today's Thursday.
The hell, man?
Okay, let's start.
Michelle Waterson versus Felice Herrig. Man, yeah. that is a...
I was looking, by the way, this main card, actually everything from Pettis Formiga on to the main event, there's nobody ranked less than 12th on this card. And basically everybody's in the top 10. It's just a great card.
I'm taking Michelle Waterson.
Okay.
By decision.
I almost hate to... this is a rough one for me because... I remember we were talking the other day, Jimmy, and you were saying that that you know Felice comes from a kickboxing background, but I'm really impressed with her grappling. I really am. And I think it's rough because I like Michelle Waterson so much. I really do.
I do too.
And I like her as a fighter. I think styles make fights. I think possibly we're gonna see a back take from Felice.
Maybe.
I don't want... It's not that I don't... I like Felice, too. I'm friends with a coach. Why am I such a nice guy?
You are. Everybody says that. You are such
nobody
a nice
says,
guy.
First of all, no, they don't. Who says that?
I'll tell you who says it. Everyone but me and Chris.
You guys cursed at me when I was a little bit late today.
No.
All right.
All right, so I'll take Michelle. You'll take Felice.
You're taking Felice by what? What round submission?
Man, you know what? I'm just... thinking, Michelle says she did break that habit of that throw, yeah. Right? She said she broke that habit because that could get her in trouble. So maybe she learned. I might be basing it on that. Am I basing it on that? I hope not. All right. I'm going to take, all right, don't hate me, Michelle. I'm going to take Felice by, I'm going to say by decision, but okay. It could be a rear naked choke. But should I say rear naked choke? I think.
Go with your heart.
Give me Karate Hottie's last two fights. I know she beat Caitlin. Not Caitlin. Yes, Caitlin. Who'd she just beat last?
Her last win was over Courtney Casey.
Casey,
was a
sorry.
Split decision, and then she had a loss to Tisha Torres, unanimous decision, and she got submitted by Rose.
By rear naked choke?
Rear naked choke.
Yeah. I feel like she probably made those corrections, but you never know. Felice is such a good back taker. I really enjoy Felice's jiu-jitsu. Yeah. All right. All right, I'm getting off the fence. Leave me alone.
What do you got?
Say
it.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to.
Say it.
Felice, rear naked choke, third round.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm taking Felice by decision. And I love Michelle Waterson. I think it's going to be a really fun fight. To me, like she was saying when we interviewed her, actually, on Tuesday.
Did you ever see Michelle Waterson and Holly...
Challenge. I saw it.
They do the challenge. But go ahead.
She's an atom weight. You know what I mean? Like she's small for that division.
Who is? Yeah.
Michelle.
She's 105.
Felice is a bigger girl for that division anyway. her wrestling, her grappling, I think that is going to be the factor in the fight. So I'm going to go Felicia.
Did you ever hear Ice Cube and the Lynch Mob when they would say, fuck Grape, Ape, and Magilla? I'm a killer. Magilla Gorilla, he ain't a killer.
No.
All right. Let's get back to the picks. Okay. I'm going to say Derek Lewis versus Volkov. I'm saying Derek Lewis is going nuts on Drago, and he's going to say, listen, I'm making up. This is what Derek Lewis the Black Beast Derek Lewis is saying. This is what he's saying. Uh-huh. He's not saying it, but I'm going to pretend I'm him. Forget about that lad. People are thinking I'm gun shy. This is me pretending I'm Derek Lewis, Jimmy.
I understand. You with
me? Okay, yes, all right. I didn't know if you were with me. All right, don't think this is really him. He didn't
know. No, no, no.
And this is what he's saying. This is what he's saying to himself, I would imagine. I'm going to make up, everybody. I'm going to make up for what I did that last fight when I was a little gun shy. And I'm going to knock out Alexander in the first round because that's the type of guy I am. I'm the Black Beast. You don't call me the Black Beast by not, you know, pulling the trigger. I'm going to pull the trigger. My back feels better. I'm pulling the trigger. Yep. First round KO. It's going to be devastating.
Second round KO, Derek Lewis. I take Derek in the second round.
Yeah, right, man. I have. I did my picks last night. I also have Derek Lewis by second round knockout. Let's say this, though. This is a very interesting fight. Volkov's great.
Did he just knock out Volkov?
He knocked out Verdum in the fourth round. So he can do it.
And he's got cardio and he can avoid being taken down.
100%. But I think Derek Lewis, I think he's corrected his back problems. He's feeling good and he's got unbelievable power.
Oh, well, listen.
I'm taking Derek Lewis as well.
Now the third fight. Also a fight no one is really talking about. Dominic Reyes. Ovin St. Preux. I love OSP. I fucking, just because he was, A, great on this show.
Yep.
And a fun guy to watch fight. I will never pick against OSP.
This is experience versus a stud who's, did he finish every single fight he's in?
He's 9-0.
In devastating fashion?
No, he has one decision, but he's 8 out of 9 have been stoppages, and he's 9-0.
Who was his last fight?
It was Jared Cannonier. He knocked him out in the halfway through the first round.
Well, no offense to Jared, but he's no OSP. He's not.
Taking
not yet.
OSP second round submission.
All right, Jimmy. I'll take your OSP second round submission, and I'll match you, Jimmy.
Wow.
I'll match you. I'm going to get the same thing as you, Jimmy. Okay. I think he's going to beat him in the second round.
Yeah.
Last fight, OSP beat Tyson Pedro. He submitted him. But he got hurt early in that fight. Ooh. And I had OSP. Ooh. I had Tyson Pedro winning by first round knockout.
Ooh.
He staggered him. OSP survived it and ended up winning by armbar. I think it's going to happen again. I'm going with Dominic Reyes first round.
Okay. Oh, you think the Devastator is going to do it in devastating
fashion?
Yeah,
he's so aggressive.
All right. This is what I'm taking now. I'm taking El Kakui. Yeah. He's fucking back. Oh, he's back. Pettis is tough, but I think the third round, I think TKO Ferguson. I think that Pettis is tough as fuck, though.
He's very tough.
He's tough. He's crafty on the floor too. I'm taking Tony Ferguson by decision. Actually,
you know, that's exactly what I'm taking. Tony by decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Pettis is very hard to put away. And again, Tony has been out for a little while, so you don't know how that affects somebody when they first come back. Or is the first round a little bit? I don't know. You know, he may go balls to the wall, or maybe the first round you feel it out just a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, with him, I mean, here's the thing. He's coming up. He's out for a little bit. He has the surgery. But you watch these videos of him. It's like that mentally, he's not worried that knee is screwed up.
He's not.
He's doing everything he
normally
does.
Mentally, he's where he should be.
This first round, I mean, this fight has title implications for both of these guys.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, thinking like a fucking just a watcher of the sport, both guys, just like Ngannou and Lewis, may be worried about making a mistake at first because it's a huge fucking fight. So I say by decision, I'm taking Ferguson.
Yeah, I have Ferguson by decision also, but then I also keep thinking, like, how is it going to end up being a decision? Like, I just feel like a submission, a knockout on either
side.
They're
both so good standing and on the ground. I mean,
I'm going to take decision.
Yeah.
Okay. Main event. Let me do the drum roll
in the main
on this.
Event?
Let me do the drum roll on our machine here.
Cards on the table, boys.
Oh, it's not working.
Wait, who's in the main event? It's
I think it's some guy. It's this Russian guy and this other Irish guy.
Boo.
He hasn't fought in a
terrible
while.
Terrible improv.
Who taught you improv, Dean Thomas? All right, listen. Yeah. That was fucking great.
I don't know who to take. I have been going back and forth with this, which to me is what a great fucking matchup is.
Khabib.
You go back and forth. Of course I've thought of taking Khabib.
Yeah.
Jimmy, are you part Irish?
But I have to go.
He's not to do with anything. Jimmy.
So you make your pick. You do.
I'm going to make my pick because you're on that dreaded fence.
Yeah, I am.
I'm not on a fence.
It feels good in my hiney.
It does, Jimmy. You're right on the pole. Listen, this is what I'm going to take, Jimmy. I'm taking the Russian. I'm taking Khabib. I'm taking Khabib by third round submission. He's saying that he's going to just beat him up, but I think by the third round, he's going to get a hold of something and just say, you know what? I must break you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if he has the opportunity to finish, he's not just going to let it go.
I think by the third round, it's going to be Khabib. But that's right. Me. You know, that's just me. Yeah. You know? Jimmy?
He's the slight favorite, too. I mean, I checked last night. I think Khabib's like a minus 150. Connor's like a plus 150. So it's close, but...
This is a fun fight.
I'm taking...
It's fucking awesome.
Connor, second round knockout.
Oh, my goodness!
I actually want to take Connor first round. You know what? Yeah. My gut goes Connor first round knockout.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm taking Connor.
I have Connor by... Second round knockout. I think maybe, you know, feeling out process in the first round. Maybe he gets taken down a little bit. He's going to land.
He
and
will,
I think he'll.
But I have a feeling that for him to win, I don't really care who wins. This is such a great fight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not to, you know, I don't think Khabib has a glass jaw at all.
No.
I just think that it's almost predestined. Oh, Khabib's going to win. That I just like, whenever you pick against Connor, like that Nate fight, that second fight, I was like, there's no way.
I thought Nate won that second fight.
But you know,
I'm a hater, though.
No, but you know what I mean?
Fuck you.
That,
fuck you
still,
whoever says I'm a hater. Eat a dick.
The third round. He
how about that? No, because I'm sitting here like, oh, but no, I'm really not. Fine. Listen.
But whatever, if you want to
You ever hear what Popeye says, you motherfuckers? Whoever likes me. Whoever doesn't, I am who I am. All right, guys. Jimmy, what do you think?
I have to pee. But through that, I think it's going to be... people thought he was going to lose to Nate that second time. He wound up going the distance. After tapping in the second round of the first fight, his takedown defense had improved. I think a lot of times when you expect Connor to lose, he does well.
Too,
I thought Jose Aldo was going to give him a hard time. Everyone thought fucking Chad... Eddie Alvarez would give him a hard time. Connor is just really... Yeah, when you think he's going to lose, he looks great.
Well, there's also something to I think you're absolutely right. And there's something to be said about the magnitude of the moment. This is the big... I mean, Khabib doesn't seem like a guy that's going to get rattled. He might not get rattled.
But he already behaved
differently. But we already kind of see it at
picks!
The press conference.
Right? I want picks!
It's such I got Connor first round knockout.
Yeah, and I have Connor by second round
I got
knockout.
Khabib third round. Listen, everybody, give a proper plug for this.
Do we want to tag on? We talked about it. Do we want to tag on? Do you guys want to take a guess? Any of the fights on the card, just guess which might be the fight of the night. We'll add like an extra point to...
Fight of the night?
Yeah.
Is going to be Ferguson Pettis.
Yeah, I think so too.
Fight of the night is going to be, I'm going to say the fight of night, I think the fight of night is probably going to be, I don't know what the fight of night is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the main event because I'm a hopeful that it's going to be live up to
right
the hype.
Too.
So I'm going to say, because I'm a glasses half full. I think Khabib Connor is going to be the fight of the night. And I can't wait for it. Jimmy, you want to plug anything, buddy?
Yeah.
Besides this weekend?
I'm going to be in San Antonio and I'm going to be in Houston coming up in a couple weeks in October. Get tickets. I'm going to go pee.
Bye, Jimmy. And everybody, I got something to say. Not really, but I got here a little late, so I'm going to stay on a little bit.
Great.
Chris, the producer, give a proper plug for this UFC event.
Yeah, well, and I was actually going to say our friend Ryan LaFleur is opening this card.
I am so happy about that. I really enjoy Ryan LaFleur, and I'm glad he's kicking things off. He can get done early, and he can party. And I'm expecting big things for him. That guy's a dark horse in that division, Ryan LaFleur.
Yeah.
Guy's only got two losses. One's a five-round fight with Damian Maia, where everybody's getting smoked. That's when Damian was just smoking everybody, and he survived, and he came back that fifth round. And the other one, he got caught versus the cowboy, Oliveira.
Yeah.
So that dude is very much alive in this division. I'm not just saying that because he's from Strong Island. And I'm looking forward to seeing Ryan LaFleur.
Yeah, me too. So this is...
I'm looking forward to this whole freaking card.
It's unbelievable.
And,
yeah.
It's going to be a good time. It's this Saturday night.
This Saturday, October 6th, UFC 229, Khabib versus Conor McGregor for the UFC lightweight title. Early prelims start at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Fight Pass FS1 prelims are on at 8 p.m. and then the pay-per-view starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. You'd be real stupid not to get this one.
Everybody watch and we'll talk about it on Tuesday.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, or wherever you listen to your podcast. It's not my business.
Now, NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.